Welcome to Living Waters Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this life-changing message.
We're glad that you're here this morning. We're glad that you're in church. We're glad that you're watching this morning because God wants to speak to you. Amen? Amen. God has a word in season for each and every one of us. And he wants to say something new. I was saying this morning, you know, sometimes you go and visit people, don't you? And after a while, after the conversation goes, and then you hear a story being said and you think, I've heard this one before. And then you hear another story and you thought, I've heard that last week and I heard it the week before and I heard it the week before and the week before. I'm sure there's no one around here who does that, repeats themselves like that. But you know, God has something fresh for us. Amen. God has something new. And he may remind us of a few things, but he still has something new to say to us every day through his word, because his word is our life. Father, I thank you this morning for the insurance. We have medical insurance, pet insurance. I think we should have children insurance as well, but I've not come across that one yet. And whenever we make a claim, we're looking for compensation. We're looking for to get rewarded for the premium that we've been making. And, you know, they don't always pay out, do they? No, I'm sure nobody's had that experience where you've put in a claim and they've not paid out. They don't always pay out. And then if they do, amazingly, your next premium comes in and it's double what it was the year before. Is there any insurance brokers in here this morning? No, no, praise God, hallelujah. Excellent. The convicting spirit will be here. The Holy Spirit, the convictor of righteousness, sin, and insurance policy generators. So, you know, we do everything we can to make sure we get what the policy says it was. And I've found some insurance quotes. Now, these are genuine statements that were made by people in the UK. It gets worse because it was in the UK. So if you next time you go out on the road, this is some of the people that you're going to be passing by. One of them said, I was going to work at 7 a.m. this morning. I drove out of my drive straight into a bus because the bus was 5 minutes early. Fair enough, isn't it? Can't argue with it. I started to slow down, but the traffic was more stationary than I thought it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that. The car in front hit the pedestrian, but he got up, so I hit him again. Be careful next time you go out, that's all I can say. An invisible car came out of nowhere, struck my car, and then vanished. Amazing, amazing what there is around this place. Coming home, I drove into the wrong house and collided with a tree that I don't have. What can I say? I thought my window was down, but I found it was up when I put my head through it. Be very careful next time you stick your head out the window, I think is the moral of the story there. The guy was all over the road. I had to swerve a number of times before I hit him. I told the police that I was not injured, but on removing my hat, I found that I'd a fractured skull. Look in the mirror. I saw a slow-moving, sad-faced old gentleman as he bounced off my bonnet. Poor thing. The accident was caused by me waving to the man that I hit last week. And I love this one. I took one look at my mother-in-law and drove over an embankment. Well, what can I say? What would you... I can't say anything. My lips are sealed. But you know, there's one policy that was paid for in full by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And when he said it is finished, the premium was paid in full. Amen. There are plenty of policies that will cover your life in this life, but there's only one policy that will cover you for the life hereafter. And that's God's promise of salvation and eternal life with him. Amen. And when you choose to take out that policy, you are covered for all time and eternity. Forever and ever and ever and ever. That's quite a long time. There's no need for renewal, praise God, and the premium doesn't go up at the end of the year. It's paid in full, an eternal policy. That's why we can say with confidence, like Paul said in Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword or anything that comes against us in this world that we have to be insured against. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded. Are you persuaded this morning? Are you sure this morning? Are you convinced this morning? I am persuaded, says Paul. I'm sure I am. I am persuaded, says Paul, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. What's he saying? Nothing, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I think that deserves a praise to the Lord this morning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me where? To living waters. Grace will lead me home, hallelujah, home to be with him. Grace will keep us, grace will hold us, grace will lead us. This policy is for now. This is a guarantee of God's divine protection and care. That's why the psalmist writes in Psalm 23, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's for now. And that knowledge and understanding affects everything and should affect everything about how we live our lives and about the security and peace that we can enjoy in this present age. Despite the circumstances, despite the storms, despite the afflictions that rage around us, there is a peace that transcends all understanding. Amen. Philippians 4, 6 to 7. There is a strength and the joy in the Lord. Nehemiah 8, 10. There are green pastures and quiet waters in the midst of the storm. Psalm 23, verse 2. And there is a life to live in all its fullness. John 10, 10. That God promises us in the terms of his life cover. Amen. So are you covered? Yes. Are you covered? Yes. Are you covered by the blood of the Lamb? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we need to do more than say it. It's not just talk. This is walking the walk. This is faith with legs on. I love that expression someone used to use. It's faith with legs on. It's walking the walk. It's more than just words. It's a belief and a demonstration of the power of God at work in our lives. In the midst of our everyday lives, in the midst of when we're at work, when we're at school, when we're at college, when we're at the shops, it's a demonstration of the power of God, of the victorious life, not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit, Zechariah 4, 6. It's a statement to those around us, a statement to the powers and principalities, unto salvation, not with wise words and eloquent speech, but in a demonstration of the Spirit's power, that our faith should not stand on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 4 to 5. So what does God's word say about this policy and about what we should be and how we should live? Let's read together. I'm going to read from Joshua chapter 1. I'm going to read from verses 1 to 9 this morning. Joshua chapter 1. Verses 1 to 9, something you'll be quite familiar with. It says this, verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aid, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give you, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your feet, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn to it from the right to the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be discouraged. Do not be terrified, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Hallelujah. God will add his blessing to his word. Thank you for your word. Speak to us through it, Lord God, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Now, a few Christmases ago, having normally to cater for more presents than Santa Claus in our family, we went ahead of ourselves and tried to get ahead of ourselves anyway in the previous November and found a bargain on Gumtree, which was a present for Emily. Now, it was one of those electric scooter things. And we thought, she'll love this. This will be great. So I picked it up from Exeter on the way to somewhere else in the country and eventually got back home and hid it in the garage, as you do, and kind of forgotten about it. So she won't be able to see it because you can't find anything in our garage once it's in. Now, you might be able to see where I'm going with this, but it wasn't until Christmas Eve that I suddenly remembered about the scooter and thought in a mad panic, I'd better get it out, wrap it and charge it so it's ready for Christmas Day. So I did. I retrieved it, put it on charge, and then I gave it a try. And yes, you've guessed it, nothing. Not even a peep. Not a groan, not a flicker, nothing. So you can imagine what my thoughts were. Oh, bless that person who sold it to us. Oh, the Lord loves you. The Lord loves you so much. I'm working on that because I've not got there yet, but the Lord loves you, and I'm still working on that because you sold us this. Anyway, being mildly electrical and willing to give anything a go, I stripped it down and tested it. I tested the battery. I tested the charger. I tested every switch, every knob, every button, and everything seemed to be working, so it had to be the controller. So somewhat fizzing, because I'd spent 2 hours that I could better have spent on Christmas Eve. And I ordered another one and broke the news that Christmas was cancelled for Emily, so never mind. And her present would be coming after Christmas, not before. So much for early planning. Well, Christmas came and went and the new controller arrived and there was much excitement about the house. And I installed it and tried it again. And yes, you guessed it, not a peep, nothing. Unbelievable. There, tried it, nothing. Oh, for goodness sake. These people who go on Gumtree and sell you things. Other places are available as well. So it looked like I'd been sent the wrong controller, so I ordered yet another one. And then I suddenly thought to myself, well, it might be an idea to try and download some instructions for it. So after much Googling, as you do, I downloaded some and took a look. And the first thing that it says on the cover in bold italic letters is, please note that the motor will not engage until the scooter is going more than 5 miles an hour. It will not work when stationary. This is not a fault. It was working all along. What's more annoying than trying to fix something, buying two precise parts and still trying to fix it, and it still doesn't work? In actual fact, it was still working all along. Can you imagine what was going through my head at that point? But I think the moral of the story is, always read the instructions. And the title of my message today is Read the Instructions. But how much time do we spend reading the instructions? Because this book called the Bible, God's Word, gives us every instruction we need and detail for life and godliness, as it says, to be successful, to live a joyful and fulfilling life on this planet now, today. Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I was saying earlier, I used to have a pair of slippers that had a little torch on the end, on the feet, so you could turn them on and see where you're going. I'm going to buy Pastor Tony a pair for Christmas. So if you see, I hope he's going to demonstrate it on the Christmas morning service, and we'll see these little lights. And God's word is like that. It directs our path. But how much attention do we give to God's word every day? God's directions and instructions, his guidance, so we can successfully navigate through a dark world, step by step and little by little. The steps, Psalm 37, verse 23, of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Trouble is, I spend too much time in life like I did with the scooter, because I don't pause and reflect and selah, as the psalmist says, enough, and ponder and meditate on his word for my life every day. Jesus said in John 5:19, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. And whatever things he does, there also the Son does likewise." In other words, he needed that connection with God. He needed to spend that time with God. And if Jesus did, how much more does Timothy need to do it as well? How much more do we need to do it? So what does God say to Joshua? Moses, one of the greatest leaders ever, has died. The man who almost saw God face to face, who spoke with God as a friend, the one who challenged the might of Pharaoh and Egypt and defied him and saw mighty miracles take place, the one who raised his staff and divided the Red Sea for the Israelites to part to cross in front of it, the one the people had relied on for so long to intercede with God on their behalf, was dead. And Joshua is there, and God says, "Okay, follow that then." And Joshua says, "You what? It's your turn now. Go on. Go and follow in his footsteps." Now, I don't care how good you are. It's got to be a little bit daunting, hasn't it? I mean, God says to me, you know, "Go and do something." And I'm thinking, really? God, I was in this hotel a while ago, and God said to me, "I want you to tell the receptionist that I love her and everything's going to be okay." I'm thinking, what? God said, no, I want you to go on. I said, are you talking to me or the person behind me? And God said, no. I said, well, can't you tell her yourself, Lord? No, I want you to tell her. I'm thinking, Lord, you know, we have this misconception that the great men of God were full of faith and had no fear. Now, they were full of faith, don't get me wrong. But no fear? I'm not so sure. Why does the great apostle Paul write to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 2:3 and say, "I came to you in weakness and fear, with much trembling"? Why does God say to Gideon in Judges 6:23, "Do not be afraid, you are not going to die," if he wasn't already afraid? Why does the psalmist say in Psalm 56 verse 3, "Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you"? And in Psalm 34 verse 4, "The Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." Why does he say that if he didn't have any fears? Why does the Bible say 366 times, one for every day, including a leap year, to fear not? We are a fearful people, and we do worry about things. Author Ambrose Hollingworth Redmoon said, "Courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the judgment that something else is more important than fear. But the timid presume it is lack of fear that allows the brave to act when the timid do not." In Philippians 4:6, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, because God knows that we do get anxious and worry." In Matthew 6:34, it says, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow we'll worry about ourselves." If we never worried about things, if we never felt discouraged, if we never felt anxious and fearful, there'd be no need for God to have put those scriptures in his word. But in fact, they're there for that very reason, that God knows that sometimes, despite what we perhaps should do and be, we do fear, we do worry, we do get discouraged, we are anxious. Because sometimes there's some scary things that go on in this world, you know. Things that make us fear. Things that are going, sometimes I get in a car with someone and I'm thinking, my goodness, Lord, put the kettle on, I'm coming home for tea. The way they drive, it's scary. But we are supernaturally strong. Amen. Naturally, maybe fearful, but supernaturally strong. 2 Corinthians 12:9, "My grace is sufficient for you." Hallelujah. Amen. That's my verse. "My power is made perfect in your weakness." You, glory to God. So instead of living outside of reality, I nearly said living a lie, but we're Christians and we'd never lie, do we? I know that. We need to be real about what's going on inside and take some of the medicine that God prescribes to deal with the negative and sometimes dark feelings that we all experience at some stage. The biggest lie of the enemy is that you are the only one who thinks like that, who feels like that, who struggles with that. And the devil says, look at everyone else. They've got it all together, and look at the state of you. Call yourself a Christian. We need to take the lid off this stuff and realize that the truth of the matter is, in fact, we're all ducks. We might look nice and smooth on the surface, but underneath we're paddling like mad, trying to get through the day, trying to make it to the next day. We put all that mask on, don't we? That makeup, that's, what's it you ladies wear? Filler, isn't it? Oh, sorry, no, foundation, isn't it? Foundation. Foundation stuff. We make ourselves all look nice and everything. Covers up all the spots and blemishes, stains and wrinkles. Makes it appear like we've got it all together and we're the best Christians since sliced bread, and everyone goes, oh, look at Tim, he's got it all together. Listen, have a chat with my wife. Don't have a chat with my wife. But ask my mother, she'll tell you if I'm perfect or not. I think I've got a way to go. We haven't got it all together. Let's get real. And instead of beating ourselves up and condemning ourselves, we need to remind ourselves there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Romans 8:1. So what does God prescribe to Joshua to deal with this? Joshua is told to meditate on God's word. You see, in verse 6, it says, be strong and courageous. In verse 7, it says, be strong and very courageous. In verse 9, it says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you. Now, I think God realized that Moses perhaps was feeling not very strong and a bit uncourageous and a bit terrified and perhaps discouraged. And that's why three times he tells him, be strong and courageous, because he needed to be strong and courageous. And there are some people here today who need to hear God saying to you today, you need to be strong and courageous, because you don't feel strong and courageous. When you go out that door and you go back home and you face your situations and circumstances, you don't feel strong and courageous. But God is saying to you, you are and need to be strong and courageous, and you will be successful, and you will succeed, and you will come through this, and God will make a way. But what's the medicine? What's the medicine he gives him? He says, meditate on God's word. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey, oh dear, it's not a good start, is it? All the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate. Oh, dear. Read it. Meditate on it every now and then, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Meditate on it on a Sunday in church, so you might be careful to do everything. Meditate on it on a Tuesday at Lifestyle Discipleship, so that you can be careful to do everything. Oh, on a Monday, Wednesday, and a Friday, so that you might be careful to do everything written on it. Day and night, it says. Amen. Day and night. Night and day. Day and night. Night and day. That means all the time. Now, I'm not saying that you need to pack in your job and hand in your resignation and say, I'm not going to work anymore, I'm going to stay at home and just read my Bible day. No, I'm saying that we're constantly thinking, wherever we are, we're remembering what God has done. We're driving to work and we're remembering how God has carried us through things and circumstances brought us through. We're remembering the word, the scripture that we read in the morning, and God just reminded us. And then we get to work, and that person that you that has that sandpaper ministry with you that rubs you up the wrong way and really gets your goat and really winds you up. And you meet that person, and you remember what God said to you in the morning and said, love, love with an everlasting love. Show my love to people. And you're thinking, Lord, you don't know her though. Well, you do know her, but you don't have to work with her, do you, Lord? And I say, oh yes, but Lord, help me. And we're meditating, we're chewing over God's word, we're remembering what God has said. What God's prescribing to Joshua was a remedy for insecurity, anxiety, fear, discouragement, and depression, you name it, by getting into God's word and seeing what he has to say about that. Reading the instructions, reading the manual. But there's more to it than that as well. Because God uses words like obeying all the law, not just the bits we like. You know, we can't, you know, we some people would tear pages out of the Bible because, oh, I don't agree with that. Oh, I like that bit. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Blessed are those who call on the name of the Lord. I'll keep that bit. Oh, no, I'm not sure about that bit. Submit to God. Oh, dear, no, I don't want to do that, do I? And we can't, it's either all or nothing. It's the infallible word of God. Amen. All scripture is useful. All scripture, Paul writes to Timothy. The infallible word of God is complete and only works and does what it says on the tin when we take it all on board. We can't quote half a verse and expect it to work. Favorite one, James 4:7. Resist the devil and he will flee. It doesn't say that. It says submit first to God, then resist the devil and he will flee. But there's so many Christians live on the second bit. Oh, I just resist the devil and he'll flee. The devil is under my feet. Romans 16:20. No, be excellent at what is good and innocent of evil, and then the God of peace will crush Satan underneath your feet. We need to get this in perspective and write in the full picture. And then he says words like meditate. Oh dear, day and night. He's talking time. He's talking time here. This is not an instant fix. We live in a microwave culture where we want it all and we want it now, just like Freddie Mercury. I remember being on a tube in London or a tube station, and the train came and the doors opened and there was a guy came. I mean, his feet didn't touch the steps. He came down that fast, running for the train. And just as he got there, I'm sure there's someone who watches. I'm sure the driver's got a camera. So he just waits for you to get there and then closes the doors. And he closed the doors and the guy's, oh! And he almost threw down his briefcase and, oh! It's like his world had ended. And I looked up and it said, next train, 1 minute. I'm thinking, I'm sure I'm missing something here. But we're like that as Christians. We want an instant fix. What do you mean, God, I've got to wait another week? What do you mean, God, I've got to wait another year? I can't do that. I want it now. I need it now, Lord. Why is it not happening now? God's saying it's coming. It will surely come. Habakkuk, the vision will surely come. Though it tarry, it will come. Psalm 37, verse 7, be patient and wait for the Lord to act. Verse 4, it says, seek your happiness in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. And then 37, 7 says, but be patient and wait for the Lord to act. We're not very good at that bit, are we? I'm not very good at it anyway. You cannot download spiritual maturity. Amen. It takes time. This word takes meditating on. Like a cow chewing the cud. It takes time. It takes reflecting on what God's saying and thinking about what he's doing in your life. If you had coffee this morning, you probably came in and got coffee. The early service, they got coffee. Lovely filter coffee. Unfortunately, by the time I got here the second service, there was no filter coffee left and it was instant coffee. Now, instant coffee, just, I'll drink it, but you know. But filter coffee, that's a different matter. Because it's been filtered through the process, been filtered. Now, you came in and just grabbed a cup, but that was because people had come in before and had prepared it and put the machine on, hadn't you, Roy Sander? You come in, John, and others have been there, and they put the machine on, they got the coffee and the water, and it all filtered through the filter paper, through the coffee. It there brewed, sat brewing, and then you got a lovely, delicious cup of coffee. That's what we need to do with God's word. We need to allow it to percolate in us. Do you remember percolator? Anyone remember percolator? It used to sit there in the background, all this water going through it, dribbling through the coffee, and got a lovely cup of coffee at the end of it. That's what God wants us to do with his word, to allow it to percolate within us, to think about, to meditate on it, to chew on it, to reflect on it. Because when we do that, we get a proper cup of tea at the end of the day. Tea, coffee. Nobody wants to put a nobody wants to dip a tea bag in and take it straight out again and then get handed to you. Do it. It's like dishwater. It's gusting. It needs time to brew. So you get a lovely cup of coffee and tea. There is no shortcut to maturity in God and to succeeding and prospering in everything you do. And in Psalm 5, verse 3, in the Message translation, David says, every morning I lay out the pieces of my life on your altar. I love that. Like a jigsaw puzzle. And God begins to put the day together and put it down and make the picture and form it together and create the picture that he's got, the plan he's got for the day. And we add the pieces and say, oh yeah, God, I see that piece fits there. And oh, I need to go and see them, doesn't it? Because that piece sits there. And oh, I need to phone them because that piece fits there. And we see the picture forming. Rather than just rushing out in our day and saying, oh God, why? And God says, why did you not read my word? Meditate first of all and talk to me. Now, if you remember last time I spoke, I had a little umbrella in church, and I had a little stand as well. I don't know if you remember. You do. I'll be asking questions later. And I just want to confess, really, a little bit about that, because we got some new flags. Do you like our flags outside? Because they're great. Living Waters Church. Look at this. It's amazing. So let me see if I can get this. Oh, dear, dear, dear. Oh, Lord, have mercy. There we go. So just talk amongst yourselves for a minute. And I got this, we had these flags. And these flags are amazing. And they have these bases. And the flags sit on these bases. Now, Josh, you said these were really heavy. You said they were really heavy when you tried to carry them out the other day. I don't know why, what you're talking about. Anyway, I found them quite light, really. And these hold this. And you remember I said that it's no use holding it yourself, because it's God who needs to do the holding. And God is our sure foundation. But you know, there's more to it than that. Now, someone, not far from here, the other day, very close, was bringing one of these back in the other day. Now, these were full of water. They were full of water. And someone saw a few people in the church after the service when everyone had gone, and there was a few people left, and decided to show off to everyone about how he could lift these things. And unfortunately, as that person got to the step, all the water went to the other end, and the thing went and landed on the step outside, and there was a slight injury occurred to it, and a little hole developed, and it started to leak. Now, I don't know who that was, but so they weren't far away from here, were they? Confession is good for the soul, isn't it? And so I had to do a repair job on it. And I got some silicone glue and glued it all. And it was fine for a while. But if you came to church this week, you might have noticed that when you walk through the doors, there's an almighty bong. And everyone's thinking, what is that smell in here? It's like someone had died. But no, they hadn't. Praise God. And what it was, because I had to get a stone up my shoe, and I put my foot down, and suddenly my sock was wet. And what I realized was that the repair had failed, and the whole area over there was wet through from the water that was in this thing. So yesterday, I decided that I had to make amends. So I decided that I needed to come and just do some repairs. So I emptied all the water out and decided, in case I do it again, I needed to put some sand in instead. You see, this is fine. And this will cope with some storms, but it won't cope with all storms. Sometimes it needs to be heavier. Now, some of us are like this, because we believe in God, we built our foundation on him, but we stop there. We need to do some meditating. We need to do some percolating on God's word. So yesterday, here I am in church, all on my own, with a ladle from Sim's Kitchen, with a little funnel, with a little, and a bag of sand. And there I was, sitting here all day, thinking, I'll get this sand in here in 2 minutes. Won't take long, will it? A couple of minutes and it'll all be in there. And after about an hour, I'm looking at it thinking, that bag's hardly gone down. Goodness sake. And oh dear, it feels like nothing's changed. And after, it took forever to get this into that, to make it solid and sure so that when it goes out there, it doesn't blow over. But you know, that's exactly what God wants us to do. With his word, he wants us to meditate on it, little by little, day by day, just a little bit. Because some of us think, oh, I can't read the Bible in a day. How am I going to do that? Oh, no, it's a year, isn't it? How am I going to do that? God says, come on, little by little, just a little bit. And day by day, you're just building on that foundation. And gradually, nothing seems to be changing. But when you're faithful in God's word and faithful to his word, as you do it, everything is changing. Everything is changing. You might not see it yet, but everything is changing. And you are building a foundation that will stand the storm, that will stand the greatest storm. So that when the greatest storm comes, you will have a foundation that will not be knocked and will not be blown down. Hallelujah. And what you'll do, suddenly you'll pick this up and think, whoa, that's suddenly got quite heavy, that has. That's suddenly increased. Whoa. How did that happen? Because you've been faithfully day by day meditating on God's word, little by little, hour by hour, little by little, faithfully doing it day after day after day, giving it the time, giving it the commitment. It's not an instant thing. It's a day by day, minute by minute, hour by hour thing. It's gradual process. And then suddenly your foundation has become sure. Your foundation has become strong. And no matter what the storm, you will not be knocked. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Now, why do I say this? I say this because we do not know what is going to happen tomorrow. I say this so that we will be ready. I say this because Ephesians 6:13, can I have the band back, please? Ephesians 6, or those who are here. Ephesians 6:13 says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Hallelujah. That's why you need to meditate. That's why you need to give yourself to the word of God. That's why God commanded Joshua to day and night meditate on this book of the law. Let it not depart from your mouth, that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Then you will be able to stand when the day of evil comes. And having done all to stand firm. Hallelujah. Because you just don't know what's coming next. But I tell you, those who are prepared and those who are ready will be firm and will not be washed away. When the fire comes, you will not be burned. When the waters come, they will not wash over you. Hallelujah. Because you will be one who is strong, strong in the Lord. An ordinary guy called Mark writes on Christmas Day in 2020, he's woken up by his excited little girl, Grace, ready to open her presents. As he sat by the tree with his family, his phone pinged. I'd tested positive for COVID-19. By Boxing Day, my wife Jennifer found me stumbling down the hall, struggling to breathe. She quickly ran for an ambulance, and we discovered that my oxygen levels were so terrifyingly low that the nurses didn't know how I was still conscious. The doctors told me they'd never seen someone so sick with COVID. And my best chance of survival was to be put into an induced coma so that a ventilator could start breathing for me. I was encouraged to call my wife and make any arrangements. So I asked the doctor, how long should I tell her I'll be in a coma for? He said, I don't think you understand. There's a good chance you'll not wake up. When you're suddenly faced with the reality of death, your faith becomes more real than ever. He says, I prayed to God, repenting of any lingering sin in my heart. I called Jennifer to tell her that I loved her and Grace and sent a mass text out to everyone I knew, telling them I loved them. I was sorry if I'd hurt them, and that if I didn't wake up, then their best chance of seeing me again was to make sure they were right with Jesus, because I knew where I was going. When you have that foundation, when you put into that foundation, you are persuaded, you are convinced, you are sure that no matter what storm comes, you will not be shaken and nothing can pluck you out of His hands. Hallelujah. 22 days in a coma went by and I was showing no signs of improvement. In fact, I was getting worse. My organs shut down. I was on dialysis. My heart was failing. Then my vitals went through the roof and the doctors decided to give me the strongest drugs available in modern medicine. When I didn't respond to the drugs, the consultants feared I wouldn't make it through the night. But meanwhile, my wife had rallied the troops to pray for me. See, when man cannot do anything, that's when God steps in. Suddenly, without warning, all my vitals began to stabilize. My body began to fight back. The doctors couldn't believe it. What they didn't know at the time was that my vitals had gone crazy due to sepsis, but those powerful drugs weren't even designed to treat sepsis. And to this day, the consultants and nurses say it was a miracle. I came out of a coma after 29 days and spent roughly a further 40 days in the hospital learning to breathe again. I kept thinking back. I kept meditating. I kept chewing on a word I'd read years ago that said, it's only when man has done all he can do that God steps in to do the impossible. I'm still recovering 2 years later and my body still hasn't regained its strength. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God saved me that night. And in a moment when modern medicine had done all it could do, He stepped in to do the impossible. By His grace, I continue to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Let's bow our heads this morning. There was someone who had built his life upon the rock, Christ Jesus, who had spent that time putting the sand in the container and putting it way down so that when the storm came, the storm he never even imagined came, he was able to stand and stand firm. And I believe that for some people here, God is about to step in and perform the impossible, perform the miraculous in a way that you've never seen before. When you've done everything you can do, God is about to step in. But first, I want to speak to anyone who's never given their life to Christ, never surrendered their heart to Him. Because if you've never done that, you're building your life on sand. And when the storms come, you will be washed away. But the only sure foundation you can build your life on is the rock Christ Jesus, who died for you 2,000 years ago. And you need to put your faith and trust in Him. And you can do that even today to gain eternal salvation through a prayer that we'll pray in a moment. Or maybe you're backslidden. Once you once walked with the Lord and the circumstances, the storms of life have driven you away, but you know you need to put your hand back into His. Maybe you're watching this morning. You know you need to get your hand back into the hand of God today. Well, there is opportunity to do that now. And I don't want you to pass this opportunity by. So our heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. If you fall into either of those categories, you need to give your life to the Lord for the very first time, or you need to recommit your life to the Lord, I just want you to do something quickly. Just pop your hand up, catch my attention so we can pray a prayer together. Thank you. Thank you. Put your hand down. Anybody else this morning who needs to do that and make that decision? Because this is a decision that lasts for eternity. This is a decision that changes things, that makes things different. And on the basis of this decision, there is a new life that you're going to live. A fresh start. A fresh start that you're going to have. Is there anyone else this morning who needs to make that decision? just quickly catch my attention. Anybody else here this morning? There may be people watching online. So we're going to pray a prayer together, church, and help that person who's responded and anyone who's watching online to help them. This prayer doesn't save you. This is a confession of what you're believing this morning. It's a confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together, church. It goes like this. And this person prayed with us this morning. This is between you and God. This is from your heart. It goes like this. Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me 2,000 years ago. And I thank you that that death applies to me today. And today I choose to accept the atoning work that you completed on the cross of Calvary for me, for my life. I ask your forgiveness for all I've done wrong, for not following you when I should, and going my own way. And from today, I choose to serve you, to give my life to you, to follow you for the rest of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, I'd like us to give a mighty hand of praise to the Lord for speaking into the lives and bringing salvation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I know time has gone, but I just want to give God time to do what he needs to do with his word this morning. Because I believe in this morning here, there are people who perhaps need to just spend a moment just allowing the Holy Spirit to do what he needs to do with that word, chewing on it, allowing the Holy Spirit just to minister. In a moment, I'm going to release everyone, but if the guys are going to lead us first. And I just encourage you in this moment, as they sing, we said there is a river flowing. And there is a river flowing in this place. And the best place you can be is in the river of God. Because that's where it makes the difference. That's where you're putting sand into the container. That's where you're meditating. That's where you're spending time with your Savior. And allowing the Holy Spirit to seal what he wants to do in you. So as these guys sing, the altar is open. Not going to make a big appeal, but if you feel you want to come to the front and just spend a moment before God, then I encourage you to do that, to embrace what God's doing this morning, to embrace what he's saying to you, to give him a moment, to give him a moment. We will release you, but I just encourage you to give him a moment first. Thank you. Let's stand.